From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8. In summer and in winter shall it be. The streams of living water which flow from Jerusalem are not dried up by the parching heats of sultry midsummer, any more than they were frozen by the cold winds of blustering winter. Rejoice, O my soul, that thou art spared to testify of the faithfulness of the Lord. The seasons change, and thou changest, but thy Lord abides evermore the same, and the streams of his love are as deep, as broad, and as full as ever. The heats of business cares and scorching trials make me need the cooling influences of the river of his grace. I may go at once and drink to the full from the inexhaustible fountain, for in summer and in winter it pours forth its flood. The upper springs are never scanty, and blessed be the name of the Lord, the nether springs cannot fail either. Elijah found Cherith dry up, but Jehovah was still the same God of providence. Job said his brethren were like deceitful brooks, but he found his God an overflowing river of consolation. The Nile is the great confidence of Egypt, but its floods are variable. Our Lord is evermore the same. By turning the course of the Euphrates, Cyrus took the city of Babylon. But no power, human or infernal, can divert the current of divine grace. The tracks of ancient rivers have been found all dry and desolate, but the streams which take their rise on the mountains of divine sovereignty and infinite love shall ever be full to the brim. Generations melt away, but the course of grace is unaltered. The river of God may sing with greater truth than the brook in the poem, "Men may come and men may go, but I go on forever." How happy art thou, my soul, to be led beside such still waters! Never wander to other streams, lest thou hear the Lord's rebuke. What hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink of the muddy river?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Is crucified.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or phone or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Security Guarantees Fidelity. The text is found in chapter 1 and verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns deals with the meaning of the word if, a term which has caused some believers great concern. The idea that a Christian can lose his salvation found expression in some of the teachings of John Wesley, who based his teaching, at least in part, on his interpretation of this verse. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, the sense of the word if in this context is not an expression of doubt. Rather, it conveys the idea of since or because. Paul assumes that these Colossian believers are continuing in the faith of the gospel. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we're reading again the passage commencing at verse 9, and we're reading through to the end of verse 23. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious and inspired word for his name's sake. Continuing our journey through Colossians chapter 1, I want us today to pay attention to a verse that I must confess I had not intended until a day or two ago to preach on at all. I can't preach on every syllable of this epistle, otherwise this would be a very, very long series of messages. I had intended moving on, but that I couldn't do. I think there is something here to which we must pay the closest attention. I want us to look at verse 23. It starts with the word if. This is following on from a statement that God intends to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight if ye continue in the faith. Now, the context of this is critical. Notice again the conjunction of thoughts. He has reconciled you to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable if ye continue in the faith. At first sight, this appears to establish what John Wesley said on this text. He present you if ye continue in the faith. Otherwise, ye will lose all the blessing which ye have already begun to enjoy. In other words, according to Wesley, you may now be reconciled to God in the body of Christ through his death, but you will lose it all if you do not fulfill the condition that is here laid down. In other words, your security depends upon your faithfulness to God. Now that, according to John Wesley, is the meaning of the text. And as you look at it at first appearance, it seems to be the meaning of the text. And yet, it is not the meaning. In fact, as you look at the text a little more carefully, you will find that this is the very opposite to the meaning of the text. Far from teaching that your security depends upon your faithfulness, Paul is showing that your faithfulness depends on or is assured by the security you enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, the critical word in this text is the word if. And it's vital that we understand its force. I don't want to be technical this morning or to appear more learned than I am. But any student of the New Testament will know that there are various ways for expressing conditionality or uncertainty or supposition in the New Testament text. Let me put it very simply. There is a way to say if, to show that the issue being considered is a matter of very real doubt. There is another way to say if, to show that we are merely stating a condition without either assuming or doubting that that condition will be fulfilled. And then there is yet another way to say if, in order to show that we assume the supposition to be true, that we are throwing no doubt whatsoever upon the thing being supposed. In fact, rather we're saying we take it that it is true and it's going to happen. And in these cases, this last case, the word if has the force of since, which is very close to because. Now, that's the way that Paul expresses it here. It's not obvious in translation, for if to us means if. Well, actually, that's not even true, because we speak English. It's a living language. We speak it. Our ears are tuned to all the nuances of sentence buildup of what's called syntax. So therefore, when somebody says if, we know if they're expressing doubt or if they're simply expressing condition or if they're meaning since and assuming the thing that's following the if. We can pick all that up in English. We read it in the Bible. We don't pick it up because we don't see the construction that lies behind it in the Greek text. What lies behind the if here is a statement that Paul is saying, I assume, I'm taking it for granted, that you continue grounded and settled in the faith. I assume it. I take it for granted. In other words, you could read it like this. He's going to present you wholly unblameable, unreprovable, since you are continuing steadfast in the faith. That's how Paul expresses it. He's not casting the slightest doubt at all upon the believer's profession. He is not telling the believer that he may lose a reconciliation and a redemption that he now enjoys. As John Wesley said, rather he's saying to all who are redeemed, to all who have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, he's saying, you will continue in the faith of the gospel. And there's no doubt you will not be removed away from the hope of the gospel. What Paul is saying to those redeemed and reconciled to God is that a Christian's security in Christ assures his fidelity to Christ. Now that opens up a very large and vital area of study. There's a lot of talk, you know, about this thing called eternal security. Some people, like John Wesley, absolutely deny it. Your security is no stronger or longer than your current faithfulness to God, your current state of faithfulness. In fact, some Wesleyans would have gone, and some still go so far as to say, unless you have attained a place of perfect love or sinless perfection, if there's any deviation from an absolute standard of your own personal sinlessness, then you'll be damned. In fact, they would go so far at times as to say, you could walk in perfect holiness for 50 years, sin for a minute before you die, and go straight to hell. Your security, according to that view, depends upon your fidelity. Absolutely. Other people talk about eternal security and take it to mean that everybody who professes faith in Christ is eternally secure. We see this all around us in many professing Bible-believing churches. People walk the aisle when they're 2 or 3 or 4 years old. Now, I'm not casting doubt upon a person's conversion because it happened when they were young. I believe that God teaches that he converts children, so I'm not about to deny it. But there are many who have walked an aisle, or at least they have been told they walked an aisle, for they remember nothing about it. They have been told they prayed a prayer. They remember nothing about that either. So they must be saved. They have lived in sin for years. They have no interest in God or his word or his cause. There's no exercise now of a living faith in Christ. They're certainly not living for the hope of the gospel. But they're assured, you're eternally secure. You may not have Christ as your Lord, but you have Christ as your Savior. This is a perversion of eternal security that is every bit as pernicious as the Wesleyan denial. I want you to see something very clearly here. Paul takes it for granted that the redeemed and the reconciled believe the gospel. They're settled and grounded. They hold on to their hope. He takes that for granted. They continue. I've often said that faith is always in the present tense. Faith, once begun, continues. And that's what Paul is saying here. So it is totally unfounded to say that a person who has no current faith in Christ was ever saved. There is no ground for saying that a person who has no current attachment to Christ, interest in Christ, fidelity to Christ or his gospel, ever was reconciled to God. Because what the text is saying is that the eternal security of believers guarantees their perseverance in grace and is expressed by that perseverance.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.